The book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and we're moving to chapter 9 this evening, and this is one of the great stories of conversion, the Apostle Paul from Saul of Tarsus, Saul the sinner to Paul the preacher. And may the Lord minister to us as we look at these first 22 verses in Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For, behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ.
Well, Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher calling all Canadians back to the Bible. Do you know what gospel conversion is? There may be the spurious, that is a gimmick, aping the real thing, and I hope that is not all that you have. Conversion of the soul is a mighty, one-time, complete revolution of the soul of man. Conversion of the soul is God's power at work to turn a sinner who is powerless to save himself, to turn from self and sin, to go on to God through Christ. Conversion of soul will lead you to a full estimate of the glory and power that is in the Son of God. Any experience that falls short of knowing and resting in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior is not gospel conversion. One of the best books I ever read was by Dr. J.C. Ryle on the new birth. It is the simplest, clearest declaration of the saving change that comes into a sinner's soul when he or she is saved. I want you to have this new birth experience. I can testify it of it myself. I was born again on September 1st, 1974. I called on the Lord to save me, and I knew immediately that my life was changed. There was a first love for Christ in my soul that was thrilling. And after all these 47 years, I'm still rejoicing and praising God all the more. Now you need to be delivered from dead religion to be saved by the indwelling power of the Son of God in your soul. Until you have that, you are lost. You are on the broad road to destruction, and you will never be in heaven. Jesus said it, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Without Christ in your heart, you are dead in sins, desperate and doomed. But today, you can be saved. Learn the inside story of the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Then rejoice that you can be saved too.
Let's get into the story now of what happened. And we see in the verse 3 that as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. So he was almost there. The city was within sight. And suddenly there shined right about him a light from heaven. Oh, the light from heaven. What was he converted by? Not by his own academic struggle, not by his own intuition, but by this marvelous light of the Lord shining upon him. We're told that it was brighter than the noonday sun. And what an amazing, amazing thing. Well, we learned that in chapter 26 when he gave his testimony another time, that light was brighter than the noonday sun. And it shone upon him, it blinded him, it cast him upon the ground, and it was an amazing event. And the glory of the Lord drained him and floored him. It awakened him to the reality of who Christ is. The glory of the Lord. And that is a revelation. It's not self-taught. It's not even schooled into you. There's a time when the Lord reveals himself and he becomes real to you, and his power and his light shines into your soul. You'll see too that he was saved by the voice of the Savior in verse 5. Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus. Now, what is amazing is that he called him Lord. The light shone in. There was an understanding already. There was a recognition that he was not dealing with some mere human force. This was the Lord. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And in that verse 5, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. What an awakening. It was also a very convicting word. Why persecutest thou me? This was not a comfortable moment. This was an hour of conviction. Have you known conviction in your heart? Have you heard the Lord speaking to you about your stubborn ways, your opposition to Him, your persecution of the Lord? That's the mark, that's the testimony of a true Christian. Now, it was a voice of mercy, because the Lord said to him, Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, the language here is really of the ox that's been driven by the rod and goaded. And when the ox is not behaving well and he's kicking back instead of behaving, well, he just gets another lash or he gets another prod. And the Lord is saying to this sinner under conviction, it's hard fighting the Lord. It's hard being a rebel to the Lord. It's hard fighting the truth and going against the facts and reality. And of course, Paul wasn't really facing Christianity. He was just persecuting it. And it was hard. And he was fighting a losing battle. And now the Lord brought deep conviction into his heart. And every way, it's hard to be a sinner. It's hard to be in church, hearing the gospel and resisting it, fighting it. It's uncomfortable. I've seen people squirm in their seats. I've seen people offended by the name of Jesus. I've seen people who have been absolutely enraged because we dare say to them that they are without hope of heaven in their present condition. It can't be comfortable to hear that over and over and over. Now, if you are just hardening your heart and tightening your belt and saying, I'm not just going to fold through this and get through it, you can't say you had what Paul the Apostle had. Well, because he surrendered. He couldn't live that way anymore. He called on the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so he was saved by the light of the Lord. He was saved by the voice of the Lord, which was a merciful voice. It's hard to kick against the pricks. And I would say to you tonight in the Lord's name, it would be much easier for you to bow the knee to Christ, call upon him as your Savior, and embrace the truth that you're fighting. Embrace the facts that you can't deal with, and give your heart afresh to the Lord. I move then to really what is the exciting part, what he was converted to. We'll go to verse 6 here, and we see that, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. First thing you'll notice, he was trembling. Could you imagine Saul of Tarsus? The madman, the persecutor, the one that everybody feared. He has this great mandate from the elders. But here he is, trembling. What's he saved to? A new life of recognizing the power and the glory of the Lord. We see that he was saved to become a willing soul. What wilt thou have me to do? A willing soul. The obstinacy, the rebellion's over, and he's now yielded to the Lord. In verse 11, we find that he's a praying soul. Could you imagine Ananias, who was the one who was privileged to go to Saul and speak to him? Would you like to have been the one chosen to go first to meet Saul of Tarsus and deliver the message of the Lord to him? Poor Ananias was really thunderstruck. But Lord, I can't go and talk to him. He's the man that's persecuting us. We've heard many terrible things about this Saul of Tarsus. And the Lord reassured Ananias by saying, you go down there and you talk to him, because he's right there in the house of Judas right there in the city and in the street called Straight, the street called Straight, and you ask for this man Saul of Tarsus, for, behold, he prayeth. Well, that's different. That makes all the difference in the world. He's not sitting up there reading the Torah as some proud Pharisee anymore, but he's on his knees praying. What a difference. Ananias, I'm sure, maybe with a little bit of concern, would have opened the door and looked in, and if he saw Saul of Tarsus truly on his knees praying, well, that's enough for me. I'm happy to go and talk to him and deliver the message of the Lord to this man Saul. Behold, he prayeth. If you want to read something really challenging but heart-stirring, read J.C. Ryle's little tract. It's probably a booklet. Do you pray? Do you pray? It is the test of a person's conversion. The prayerless person cannot say they've had a conversion like Saul of Tarsus. Whatever they claim to have, if you don't pray, if you don't even think about praying, if you don't even take a moment a day to bow the knee and worship the Lord in prayer, bringing your daily needs and cares to Him, can you really say that you're converted in heart? That you've got new desires? A new outlook? Jesus is Lord of your life? That He's the one you're looking to and you're His disciple and you don't pray to Him? That would be like an employee and you never check in for the orders for the day. You might show up on site, but you don't ask, what am I supposed to be doing today? You don't even pick up the messages from your employer. And surely the Lord has a lot of things to say to us each day. And He guides us. He promises to guide us. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He shall direct thy paths. But we need to be men and women of prayer to enjoy that. And here's the mark of this man's conversion. He's a praying soul. Now, I take that same line when it comes to a profession of faith. I accept a person's profession of faith with the expectation that they are a praying person. And I may not know that immediately. I may not find that out at the beginning of my friendship and fellowship with that person. But if we get together sometime and I say to him, you lead in prayer and I'll close, and he refuses, wow, that's something wrong here. Well, why would a person not pray just one-to-one? I know coming up to church to pray might intimidate some people, but just to quietly pray one-on-one, what's wrong? I remember doing that with a man many years ago, and he made all kinds of talk about his Christian life. But when I asked him to lead in prayer, wouldn't pray. And when I didn't follow up too long, it didn't work out. He never really became part of church life at all. So it's a huge thing, a praying soul. Verse 18, he was a baptized soul. Immediately there fell from his eyes, it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and was baptized. Well, he was now shedding off Judaism totally and coming under the umbrella of Christ and Christianity as a baptized soul. And then he became a preacher. Verse 20, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. It seems that Paul never needed to go to Bible school to learn homiletics, how to preach. The Lord made him a preacher instantly. And he was not ashamed of mentioning, preaching, telling forth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now that's the things the Jews denied. That's the things that he used to persecute for. But now he is himself preaching the faith that he once sought to destroy. Now, let us see that real conversion is a radical thing in a sinner's life. It's no little thing. It's no paint job. It's no cover-up. It is a complete change of a person from head to toe. Some people like to dumb down what it takes for a man to get into the kingdom of God. The Lord never did that. He said, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And the Lord said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And Peter said, flesh and blood have not revealed these things unto you. No, it is revelation. It is the power of the gospel at work. And so, when we're preaching this gospel, let's rejoice in its power. Let's rejoice that it's thorough, that when the Lord saves, he saves totally and powerfully. Now, I ask you, do you line up with this? You might say, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't think I'll ever be a preacher. Well, are you willing to speak for the Lord and stand up for the Lord? Tell your family, tell your friends, I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Doesn't mean you're going to go in there and preach a 40-minute sermon tomorrow morning, but it will mean when opportunity arises, you'll take delight in speaking for the Lord and telling the story of what the Lord has done for your own soul. Now, to be saved is the power of God's work at work in you. It's not your work, it's the Lord's work. And it's your testimony, it's mine. I was saved on September 1st, 1974. And no doubt the Lord was working in my heart in the weeks leading up to that. I can remember many thoughts and questions that I was struggling with, seeking. I remember going to seek out a catechism to find the Ten Commandments. Could you imagine an 18-year-old young lad like me wanting to find the Ten Commandments? I knew I could find the catechism, and I knew they were in there. I didn't know where to find them in the Bible. But the Lord works. The Lord saves. The Lord draws by his grace. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be saved. And we have to agree with Paul, I'm the chief of sinners. Maybe I'll have a discussion with Paul about that. He says he's the chief of sinners. Maybe I have to say I'm the chief of sinners. There's none of us are going to brag about our unconverted days or the sins that we dabbled in, nor the lack of love for the Savior. Indeed, our natural rebellion to the Lord. We're not proud of that. We hate the sins that made the Savior mourn. And we love the cross. We love the message of redemption, that Jesus died in our place. And when you study the life of Paul the Apostle, he was the preacher of the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't go around boasting in his own achievements or what he used to be. He counted everything but dung, we learned. But he gloried in the cross. And what a preacher he was. And God used him right up to his dying day. And he laid down his life. He was beheaded in Rome, persecuted himself. The man who started out as a persecutor became willing to give up his own life, persecuted himself for that name, the one who met him on the Damascus Road. What a testimony. What a Savior we serve tonight. If you're not saved, and I need to hear from you that you are saved, I need to hear you pray. Be a great thing if you were in a prayer meeting and I said, and you were saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I would rejoice. I'd be the happiest pastor in all of Canada if I was to hear you pray that prayer. But some of you, I've never heard you pray. Boys and girls, I've never heard you pray. Children should pray too. You need Jesus in your heart. You need to be a boy or girl of prayer. You need to be converted. And may the Lord in His grace do so.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Now, you need to be born again. You need to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. You need to be brought into newness of life, because we are born in trespasses and sins. And it is only by the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God breathing into your soul, that you can be saved. Now, how does this happen? Well, you call on the Lord to save you. You take the Bible, you take the very words of the Savior, and you quote them, you recite them, you pray them, you plead them, and you ask the Lord to do in your heart what He has promised. Now, here in John chapter 20, verse 31, these words are recorded. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Now, that's the very thing that you need. You need life. And by believing in Jesus' name, this life comes into your heart. And here is the promise, that if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, your Redeemer, that He's the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Here is the gospel promise to you. And I plead with you to go to John 20, verse 31, plead it in prayer and call on the Lord to save your soul. And I will be delighted to hear that you have called on the Lord to save you. You can send me an email or give me a phone call, 604-897-2040. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Thank you for joining in the program today. I trust you will pray and call on the Lord to save your soul even today. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca/Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.